Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Rob Leatherwood with me today. He's from the Texas Association of Realtors, TAR. We're kind of excited. He's going to give us an update on Proposition 1, which I think is very important for us here in West Texas, and some other very, very important legal issues that deal with private property rights. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. Rob, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Scott. Happy to be here.
Good. I know you've been talking all over the state, kind of promoting the Proposition 1 situation and some other legal issues that represents our Texas Association, which is, I think, is a very awesome group of people.
I agree.
Let's just jump right into Proposition 1. What is it?
Well, Proposition 1, Scott, is a really important ballot measure that's coming up here in November. November 4th will be the election, and it is a measure that the legislature passed last session that gives the voters ability to basically give us sustainable transportation funding going forward.
And where's it coming from?
The money will come from the Rainy Day Fund. In the first year, there will be $1.7 billion taken out of the Rainy Day Fund, given directly to Fund 6, the Highway Fund. Past that, 50% of the revenues that would have gone to the Rainy Day Fund will go to transportation funding, and the remaining 50% will continue to go to the Rainy Day Fund. So folks that say we're going to bleed the fund dry, that's just really not the situation at all.
Well, and I know our Representative Darby's been real a leader in this effort. I'm a big Darby fan. I think he's doing an excellent job in Austin for us. But I think it was like $1.7 billion for the first year.
$1.7 for the first year.
And then you were telling me earlier what happens?
So after that, because we have such a booming energy economy here in Texas, we're guaranteed upwards of $1 to $1.5 billion every year after that. And, you know, while that's a good start and that's a lot of money, that's not going to solve the problem. That's actually about a quarter of what we need. We need $5 billion every year in new revenue to meet our transportation needs. So this $1 to $1.7 billion is a good start. But as Representative Darby said yesterday at the press conference that the realtors and the chamber and the home builders hosted, it's not an end-all. It's just a good first step.
Oh, and let's clarify. When you say transportation, we're specifically talking about roads.
Yeah. So one of the cool things about Proposition 1 is that there's no new debt, there's no new fees, no new taxes, and it can only be used for non-toll roads. So, you know, if you live in Dallas, Austin, Houston, it won't be used for toll roads. And us out here in rural West Texas, we can feel comfortable, you know, voting for this, knowing that it's not going to go to toll roads.
Well, and I loved one thing that I think that Representative Darby said, and I kind of quote him, is, you know, they're not drilling a whole lot of wells in Houston and Dallas downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are drilling them right around here. And while we enjoy, like you said, the mm-hmm. population, the tax revenue it brings, mm-hmm. it also is a lot of wear and tear on the roads.
No question. You know, Move Texas Forward is the big kind of state-level organization that is proponents of Proposition 1. And their estimates are that out here in West Texas, for example, energy roads cost $1 billion more to build and maintain than a regular traditional road. You know, out in Midland and Odessa, for example, all these big oil trucks, you know, they tear the roads up as quick as we can build them. It's important that we do things the right way when we're building these roads and kind of give them a longer lifespan.
And, you know, and a couple of things we talked about earlier, Rob, is I think you went all the way back to 1929.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's true. Water, transportation, and education are the three big issues, especially in West Texas.
No question.
And I know, you're really right out of the Lubbock area. You're still getting a graduate from Tech?
Yes, sir. I'm working on my graduate.
Congratulations on that, too. But like one of our sisters, Wichita Falls, is way worse than we are. But people around here don't realize how important the water issue is, too.
Not just with the transportation, but with the water and education as well. You know, depending on the estimates you look at, we have between 1,200 and 1,500 people moving to Texas every day. And while they're bringing with them their skills that are good for our economy, and they're bringing with them their tax dollars that are absolutely great for the economy, they're also bringing their cars, but they're not bringing their roads. So while some of those people are, you know, obviously children, they won't be children forever. So that's you could kind of conceptualize it as an additional 1,200 to 1,500 cars on our road every day. You know, and we notice out here in San Angelo, Lubbock, Amarillo, the places in West Texas that are growing. And then if you go, you know, down the 35 corridor between, you know, Dallas, San Antonio, Austin, New Braunfels, that kind of area, you definitely notice it. There's no difference at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. on how much you have to wait on that road. It's important to expand our roads, to maintain our roads. You know, I remember back when I was a kid, you know, not that long ago, and I remember we would always be like, man, Texas has the best roads. And now we go to other states and we're not the best anymore. we didn't take care of it the way we should have.
And, well, and people compare it like, we don't, like Ruidoso, like New Mexico. Mm-hmm. You can tell when you go from Texas to New Mexico, the roads are way worse than New Mexico.
No question.
We don't want to get that way.
No, we don't. Well, and the other thing is too, and I can't remember the exact number, but it's literally billions of dollars that we lose from our economy every year because our transportation infrastructure is crumbling.
And you were saying a story on some of the companies that didn't come.
Yeah, so for example, Dell down in Austin. Dell's wanted to expand for several years now, and that's been increasingly the case since Michael Dell took the company back private. But they say we can't do it because we don't have a transportation infrastructure to get our goods to market. You know, Churrasca Hot Sauce, for example, they wanted to come and bring a hot sauce factory to Texas, but we couldn't guarantee them water and we couldn't guarantee them transportation. So they went somewhere else. You know, how many times do we have to lose companies before we decide, like, this is important, we should do something about it?
And what else, what do you see on the rise? I know you've been talking to several people. You were talking about a meeting you were in last week.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some update on that.
Well, you know, I was at a fundraiser in Lubbock on Tuesday with Speaker Strauss. And he was kind of giving us a legislative update of what we have to look forward to in January. And, you know, last session they passed House Bill 5, which has been great for public education. Basically blew the system up. You know, people finally got the joke as far as standardized testing is not the only thing we need to do to prepare our students for the workforce. So
amen on that, by the way.
I mean, that is not an end game. And so we did House Bill 5. And House Bill 5 set up funding for job placement, job training. It set up basically like when you go to college, you can major in something, right? Well, we kind of do a similar deal in high schools now where you can go like down a scientific track, you can go down a liberal arts track, and it prepares you better for college. Well, a couple months ago, the judge ruled that we're not funding it adequately, like it's constitutionally inadequate. So what they're going to have to do in January is figure out how to fund this. Another thing, like you said, is transportation. One thing to remember on transportation, our roads are largely funded by the gas tax. It is a terrible idea because it hasn't been updated since 1991. The vehicle registration fee hasn't been updated since the mid-80s. So those taxes, those fees, have almost no purchasing power today in 2014. They're going to have to figure out a way. They want to do away with the diversions that come out of the gas tax to DPS, for example. That's one of the biggest diversions. They're going to have to figure out another way to fund DPS to make sure that this gas tax can actually go to transportation funding. Now, at TAR, Scott, our position is we are in support of ending all non-education-related diversions from the gas tax, because another one of the big ones is to our schools. And if we need to figure out a way to fund those schools, as I alluded to a second ago, but we can't just say we're getting rid of the diversion just for the sake of getting rid of the diversion. We have to replace that money somehow. So we support getting rid of all non-education diversions in the gas tax.
Well, and you know what you're talking about too, and we talked earlier about the tax cuts and stuff like that, is nobody wants to pay more tax. I'm the first one line mm-hmm. saying, you know mm-hmm. what, oh my God, I just got my tax return and the government's taking all my money,
right?
And I'm whining like everybody else. You know, I still use the example that I sat on the Planning Commission for a while, and that's when cell phones was really starting out. That tells
sure,
you how long
sure.
ago it's been. Go ahead and smile, Rob. Well, everybody asked in the room, I said, how many people have a cell phone? Every single person in that room had a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how many people want a tower in their backyard? Nobody wanted their tower in a backyard.
Right.
So you're kind of dealing with that same situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants the perfect education. We have to have the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have the transportation,
mm-hmm.
but how are you going to fund it?
You know, that's always the question. And you know, one thing to remember too, Scott, is when our legislators go to Austin every other January, by the time they get there, because of federal mandates and other types of mandatory spending, and for definition purposes, mandatory spending is spending that doesn't have to be renewed every session, as opposed to discretionary spending, which does have to be renewed every session. By the time they get there, 83% of the revenue is already spoken for because of all the mandatory spending.
Right.
So they have to make all this discretionary kind of situation, like with schools, with roads, so on and so forth, work with 17% of their revenue.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit, we're going to take a break here in a second, but how important it is, and that's one reason I am a Representative Darby fan,
mm-hmm.
because like you said, they have 17%, they're already claimed before we get there. So whoever squeaks the loudest, whoever does the most, mm-hmm. takes care of their district the best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's real important. But I do want to talk a little bit about why we have to spend some money, the water situation here in West Texas.
Sure.
You know, and I want to talk about TREPAC, how important it is to get people in the right positions to support private property rights, mm-hmm. to support West Texas, this side of the I-35 corridor.
Absolutely.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.